would you fall down if you had to do Wonder Woman level action sequences?
No, I would sit down and read.
Welcome to One More Thing with Jay and Robert. I'm Jay.
And I'm Robert.
One More Thing is a podcast celebrating LGBTQ plus pop culture recorded live in my living room.
Today's episode is actually brought to us from a listener request. My cisgender straight cousin, Jason, calling you out, listened to our first episode and was like, can you guys do an episode about superheroes?
I have no idea what is in this episode. I only wrote two sections of it and the rest is a mystery.
Jay's reactions through this entire episode are completely genuine and unscripted. Also, I want to give a disclaimer that in this episode, we are only talking about superheroes and not supervillains, because we've kind of said everything we needed to say about supervillains in a previous episode, in that we don't like gay
villains. Like queer-coded villains.
Yeah.
I know nothing about superheroes.
That's a lie. What are the two companies?
Marvel and DC.
There you go. Look, you know more than most of the population already. So who is your favorite superhero?
Wonder Woman.
Got it. Mine is Spider-Man.
My two are Wonder Woman and Spider-Man.
However, I'm still unsure if I'm seeing the new Spider-Man.
Why?
The Amazing Spider-Mans were so good, and I was really looking forward to that third one.
Me too!
And then they just dropped it.
You know what I will say about this new Spider-Man movie? Marissa Tomei plays Aunt May.
Yeah.
I've always loved Aunt May. She's always been my favorite character.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be fun for me to now also be attracted to Aunt May.
But anyway, this is not a Spider-Man podcast.
Something that is on topic about Spider-Man is Tom Holland, the guy who is playing Spider-Man in these new movies. Uh-huh. About 3 weeks ago, he was on Lip Sync Battle.
Uh-huh.
And he performed Umbrella by Rihanna. And it started out as Singing in the Rain and then it turned into Umbrella.
Very glee of him.
And he performed it in drag. Not even in drag, in like a very like...
It was a light drag.
It was like a gender fluid look.
Yeah.
A very androgynous look. And it was amazing because it was like he was basically doing a drag performance and, you know, so sort of honoring what lip sync actually is. Uh-huh. At all straight people on that show. It wasn't a punchline. It wasn't played for laughs.
No.
It was just the way he was performing it, and he was so comfortable in it. I thought it was just incredible, and it made me be like, I have to see these Spider-Man movies because this kid is awesome.
When you watch Zendaya react to it, she's never like laughing through it. She's just like completely overcome with like jealousy. And
also she's like, oh my god, he's so fucking hot.
Yeah, she's like on the ground at one point.
Yeah.
Which is what's kind of making me want to see the Spider-Man
And it's
movie.
Also amazing that Marvel
didn't
let
tell him
that happen.
Yeah.
On his like Spider-Man promo tour.
Because Marvel and DC are very Disney-esque in
yeah.
their like rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And there's no way that they didn't know that he was going to do that. It's not like it happened and it got pushed away. Like, everyone has been like, have you seen Tom
yeah.
Holland's performance on Lip Sync Battle? I want to know, Tom Holland, if you're listening, if it was a choice to bring up the conversation about, like, straight culture stealing drag culture, or if you just, like, wanted to do this kind of performance. Tom Holland tweeted us.
Tom Holland, tweet out One More Thing. At One More Thing, sorry.
Do you watch The Flash?
Absolutely not.
Same. I actually am not a fan of modern superhero TV shows, because when the superhero dies, the show's over.
Yeah.
So anytime the main superhero is in danger, I don't care. The only time that the stakes are high is when, like, the superhero's best friend is like has like been captured. But then it's like, if that character is going to be killed off of the show, it's been like rumored and like
yeah.
talked about and everyone knows it. And then it turns out to be this big thing. I get it that they're supposed to be fun and just like episodic and great. But like, I'm ready for something deeper. But something interesting that just happened in The Flash is a character on The Flash, who I do not know that much about, who is a person of color, has just come out as bisexual.
The character or the actor?
The actor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And he wasn't, like, shamed for it by, the superhero community, which I wasn't expecting. But because it happened over social media, I was kind of, worried a little bit. His name is Kenan Lonsdale, and he's really cute. Look him up. He basically looks just like the Flash on the show, except his costume is yellow instead of red. And I believe he may have the same power. I don't know. If you watch the Flash, get
me. Oh, he's really cute.
Yeah. He's wow. He's really cute.
Fuck.
This is what he said. I like to change my hair. I like to take risks with how I dress. I like girls, and I like guys. Parentheses, yes. And then he continued.
That's it?
No, and then he continued with...
I was like, wow.
I like growing, I like learning, I like who I am, and I really like who I'm becoming. Spent way too many years hating myself, thinking I was less valuable because I was different, which is untrue. A couple of years ago, I was able to accept myself, and it saved my life.
Oh.
But now I've gotten to a roadblock, and I feel kind of lost. I gotta take the next step and actually embrace who I am, which is pretty exciting. Not faking shit anymore. Not apologizing for falling in love with people, no matter their gender. I've become bored of being insecure, ashamed, scared. Ellipses. No one should feel that about themselves, especially when there's so much good life to live. You know, more and more, I see so many young people being their best / truest selves. It's so fucking inspiring. So what have I been waiting for? Who knows? Everyone in their own time. I know we can all learn to embrace who we are and not judge people who aren't exactly the same as us. The truth is, we're all family, we're all one, just love, key, heart.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
I love that.
Me too.
That is the greatest feeling I've ever felt. Barry, it's unreal.
Yeah, it is.
How fast was I going?
Too fast.
Dad, don't look so worried, I'm fine. I feel fine. In fact, I feel kind of awesome. Like, everything is buzzing, electric. Like, I could do anything.
Green Lantern. What do you know about him?
Absolutely nothing. Okay. Maybe he was Seth Rogen?
No, that is the Green Hornet. They're not the same at all. Green Hornet is a little more comedy, is a little more like Deadpool. The Green Lantern is like a superhero. Okay. Like, he is. He's pretty legit. Alan Scott was the first Green Lantern, and he was introduced in 1940, which is a very long time ago.
Yeah.
And in the 2012 reboot, he is reintroduced as a gay man.
Oh my god!
Right?
In the comics or in the movies?
In the comics.
Wow!
There is a movie with Ryan Reynolds, and he plays the original Adam Scott, like the 1940s
Adam
version.
Scott.
Or, oh god, Alan Scott from like the 1940s. He doesn't play the 2012 reboot, which was kind of annoying. I think they were trying to like vet him for like being introduced into the Avengers or the Justice League or something. And they were like, we're going with like the original story. So this happened right after Obama endorsed same-sex marriage.
Wow.
And North Carolina's rejection of its marriage equality bill.
Fucking North Carolina.
So like,
was this the first one?
Yeah. He's not the first gay superhero, but he is the biggest, or like the most well-known superhero who has been reintroduced as a gay character. In the original series, though, the Green Lantern has a gay son. Yeah. Right? Named Todd Rice. In the new version, in 2012, they made the Green Lantern younger, and they had to cut the son.
Right.
So they had to get rid of a gay character in order to introduce a new gay character, but I think that it was for the better. So I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Here's, like, a little description of, like, the new Green Lantern that I found. Unlike previous versions of Scott dating back to the 40s, basically being gay is not a weakness for the Green Lantern, which is what they set out to do. So one of the things that I, like, really love, and one of the things that we've talked about with this podcast that we were trying to do, is he never comes out in the comics.
Oh!
Like, you don't... He says that he's gay, obviously, and he comes out to the readers, but it's never like a, oh my god, I'm gay. He's just already gay.
I love that.
Which I think is really cool, especially for younger kids to read those comics and be like, oh, here's someone who is succeeding as a, fully fleshed out and, like, established gay character. The Green Lantern is also just really great because he's, like, up there with Superman in the fact that he's incredibly heroic. He would die for Earth, he would die for its people, and he's genuinely everything that you would want in a superhero.
Okay.
Because he's DC, what group is he a part of?
The Defenders.
No.
Fuck! Justice League.
Yes.
Great. Wonder Woman!
Yes! Because he's so, like, forward and, like, heroic, the Justice League literally doesn't care.
Oh.
They're just like, great, you're still the superhero that you've always been. Note that this is still not the original Alan Scott.
Right.
But we still love it. So this is the part of the story that I have purposefully hidden all of this stuff from you for. So this is what happens in the Green Lantern. So in the story, Alan Scott and his longtime partner, Sam, were on a train. And he's literally in the panels. He's going to propose to Sam. And he pulls out the ring.
Oh my God.
And he's like, Sam, I just really think that we should. The next panel is complete black. The next panel is the train exploding. The railroad collapses. It's above ground. And Alan Scott is the sole survivor.
Oh my God!
I have chills just telling you.
Sam, no!
A magical green flame is found by Alan amongst the rubble of the crash, telling him that he is to become an avatar of the flame's great power. Basically, like, becoming Green Lantern. And that he must channel the power through an item of importance near and dear to his heart. And Alan chooses the engagement ring that he was going to give to his boyfriend, and then, like, becomes the Green Lantern and uses, like, his love for his longtime boyfriend to be a superhero.
That is
horrible. I have a picture of
the panel. Oh, great, because I was about to Google one. Oh, no.
Right? And in it, he's literally saying, no, better still, just let me propose. I love you, Sam. I'm crazy about you. Marry me so we can... And then complete black. So that's the Green Lantern.
That is truly devastating.
And it is, I mean, it does fall into the trope of, like, gay people die in pop culture.
Right.
But he is still a gay person who survives in the comics and is a superhero. And his love for a gay man kind of powers and throws the entire plot into motion. A lot of people discredit this because they're like, if he loved him so much, he wouldn't have even become the superhero. And, like, this would have affected him a little bit more. I say, I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
But so that's the Green Lantern.
How did you know it was me?
What do you mean? I've known you my whole life. I've seen you naked. You don't think I would recognize you because I can't see your cheekbones? What is this? Why is your skin green? Why are you glowing? What the hell is with that mask?
Came with the outfit.
In 1992... the year I was born, Marvel kind of really started to blow up and kind of really shot past DC in a lot of people's minds, which kind of was because around that time people started to hate the Batman movies that were coming out. I strongly disagree. Anyway, Northstar is a superhero that is kind of with the X-Men in that whole situation. What do you know about the X-Men?
I've seen all the movies.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the new ones. I've seen the original movies.
All the Wolverines and stuff?
The Jennifer Lawrence
one. Oh, like the first class and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You've seen X-Men through, like, The Last Stand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen the Rebecca Romijn ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite X-Men?
Mystique.
I
like Mystique because I like that she can be any person. I always thought that was, like, a really fun, like, wacky plot device to be like, oh! It's Mystique. There she is, you know?
I like Storm. Because
I like Storm too.
Halle Berry is amazing.
I also liked Cyclops, but it was so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know that in X-Men, there's the whole thing with, like, mutants versus, like, humans.
And that it's, like, a metaphor for being gay.
So Northstar was the first major comic book character to declare himself as gay. So we love Northstar.
Congratulations.
Northstar has a longtime partner named Kyle, who he marries, making for the comics first interracial and same-sex and mutant-to-human marriage.
Motherfucker, that's a
portrayed in the comic book. Like, there is a marriage, like, comic book.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of him.
1 million moms released a statement.
My favorite organization.
Yeah. Quote, can you imagine little boys saying, I want a boyfriend or a husband like the X-Men? End quote.
Yes, I can.
Quote, this is ridiculous. Why do adult gay men need comic superheroes as role models? They want to introduce impressionable young minds by placing these gay characters on pedestals in a positive light. These companies are heavily influencing our youth by using children's superheroes to desensitize and brainwash them into thinking that a gay lifestyle choice is normal and desirable. As Christians, we know homosexuality is a sin.
God. I just am, like, baffled by them.
Same. When I read that, it genuinely hurt.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me sick. Anyway, 1 million moms tweeted us. Northstar routinely fights against bigotry because he's a mutant.
Oh.
As we talked about before, in X-Men, mutants are, like, the most feared minority group in the Marvel universe. Because yeah. No one really knows what to do with that.
Yeah.
Marvel wanted Northstar's relationship with Kyle to be about these characters who feel like outsiders, even among, like, outsiders. Because they are not only interracial, but they are human to mutant.
Yeah.
Which is talked about a lot in the movies where, like, that is not something that really goes on. Note, Northstar has not been in the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
So, in the comics, Marvel wanted to make it really clear that one of them is a mutant and gay, which is putting him, like, in, and is white, but, like, in a minority because of the mutant part. The other one is gay and black. So they're both kind of facing these two very different kinds of bigotry.
Yeah.
But they're living life on their own terms. And, like, the main message that Marvel wants to get across is that you, the reader, can do the same thing.
Wow.
Which is...
Thanks, Marvel.
Yeah. A really great message to get... Or, like, yeah, thing really to hear like from Marvel. So, I've decided that we're going to read aloud their proposal.
Oh, good.
Do you want to be Northstar or do you want to be his boyfriend?
I want to be Northstar.
Okay.
So, I'm Northstar, Robert's Kyle. We need to talk.
Mr. Chung, I need to call you back. What happened? Jean-Paul, why do you look like you're gonna vomit?
I'm not gonna vomit. I'm just nervous.
Now you're scaring me.
Kyle.
Did someone die? Is something wrong with your sister? Are we being invaded by aliens again?
No, babe. This is about us.
Are you breaking up with me?
Well, no. Oh, fuck no. Hell no. Hell no. I'm asking you to marry me.
I wish you had a seatbelt because you're gonna need it.
God, okay.
Batwoman.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I do not like about Batwoman is that Batwoman was created... Batwoman's a lesbian. Ah! Let me just put that out there right now.
I thought she was going to have, like, a friend who was a lesbian or something.
Nope. Batwoman's a lesbian.
Oh!
So the thing that I don't like about Batwoman is that she was solely created, and they've talked about this before, to distract and pull away from the idea that Batman and Robin are together.
Oh.
Which we've talked about before with, like, if so many people think that they're gay, like, just do it.
Yeah, they just are.
Yeah. And they were so much like, no, this is wrong. We'll give you a gay character. And we'll make her a lesbian. And, like, we won't sexualize her. And we'll, like, do it right. But, like, don't touch our guys. Which I don't like. But this is also coming from the people that wrote Green Lantern and that wrote X-Men.
Yeah.
So it's... like, it's kind of a weird line.
I mean, on the one hand, it's like, that's gross. But on the other hand, it's like, this is right at the beginning of representation.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a, like, back in the day thing.
Yeah. You know? This is how DC describes her.
Okay.
Inspiration can happen anywhere. In a classroom, a theater, or in the comfort of your own home. But for Kate Kane...
Oh.
Inspiration struck in the most unlikely of places. A dark, dingy Gotham street. Moved and motivated by an encounter with Batman, Kate donned a utility belt and joined the ranks of the costume crime fighters in Gotham City. She became Batwoman. A little bit about Kate. She was brought up as an army brat.
You know who else was?
Who?
Julianne Moore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Kate went on to attend the United States Military Academy, earning top marks.
Oh.
And easily rising to the head of her class. Until she roomed with Cadet Captain Sophie Moore with the nickname of Gimme Moore. Let me just say that again. Cadet Captain Sophie Gimme Moore. And they started dating.
Oh, God.
Which, good thing? Great representation. Bad thing, dating her roommate. Like, come on.
It's just like Cadet Kelly.
It's not like Cadet Kelly.
It is like Cadet Kelly.
But I do love Cadet Kelly.
It's like Cadet Kelly. Oh, God.
So here's where it gets a little dicey. Her commander got wind of it, and she confirmed her sexual orientation, but protected Sophie. Per the, like, DADT, don't ask, don't tell. She was dishonorably discharged. Her father forgave her pretty quickly and found it, like, he was basically like, I'm glad that you didn't lie and that you weren't like, yeah, I'm straight, to stay in the military, and was proud of her for not trying to, like, drag Sophie with her.
I'm proud of her too.
However, Kate was pissed.
Yeah, girl, me too.
And she kind of went into a deep, dark depression.
Oh no!
Yeah. And one, and she got really into alcohol, and she was basically like a bad girl.
She was...
And one night, after a party, she was pulled over for drinking and driving by Officer Renee Montoya.
Hello.
And instead of being fined for drinking, the two started dating. They broke up when Renee told her that she had no direction in life, no education, and no apparent goals.
Oh, damn.
Because Kate kind of was really down
on
her luck.
That's fucking cold.
But Kate found her purpose soon enough when she was confronted by a mugger in an alleyway, and she was saved by... Batman. So her military training makes her this tough adversary in both armed and unarmed combat. She doesn't need a gun, basically. So because she kind of went through military training, she doesn't need it. And she's able to kind of do the same thing that Batman does, where he just kind of like fights. And her experiences in the military have made her like a strong opponent of injustice, and her intelligence has led her to become a solid detective.
Good lord.
However, she also shares the Dark Knight's self-destructive tendencies when it comes to personal relationships.
Oh, Kate.
For her,
we're on the same
page. Mission always comes first.
Oh my god, Kate, I'm with you, girl.
You can look up pictures of her now.
We'd be great together. Kate Kane.
Yeah.
You did not warn me.
And it gets a little muddy. Me having never read these comics, I think she's dead. I'm not
Batwoman.
I think she died in a mission recently, but I'm not totally positive on that. So tweet at me if you know that answer. But she's really hot. Okay, so now look up her, both of her girlfriends.
I am already way ahead.
So the other question is, do you think that Batwoman will be in the Gotham Sirens movie? What?
This is shocking.
What?
And a perfect transition to the next segment.
Okay.
Hand me the card that says the lesbians on Supergirl. So, one of my new girlfriend Batwoman's girlfriends was a detective named Maggie Sawyer.
Yes.
Who is openly a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Maggie Sawyer! It's the same one!
No way!
It's the
That's
same-
Maggie?
That's Maggie!
Okay.
I can't believe this. Okay, so, I'm here to talk about something called Sanvers. Don't make that face.
Literally, what is that?
Maggie Sawyer and Alex Danvers.
Oh, okay.
It's their couple name.
Okay.
On Supergirl, on the CW, Kara Danvers is Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Her sister, Alex, is a main character, and she was a main character the whole first season. And then at the end of the first season, they announced that Floriana Lima, who is my girlfriend. Do you know who Floriana Lima is dating? Hmm. I found out last night.
Who?
Casey Affleck. Yeah.
All right.
So Floriana Lima tweeted us if you need help.
Yeah.
Escaping that situation.
Yeah, really.
And we will come help you.
Ugh.
They were like, she's gonna play Maggie Sawyer. And people were like, oh, like, isn't Maggie Sawyer a lesbian? And DC was like, yes, she's a lesbian, and she's going to date a character on Supergirl. And no one knew who it was gonna be. And then over the course of this last season, Alex, Kara's sister, Alex and Maggie, like, met and, like, very clearly were super into each other and were, like, flirting. And then Maggie's, like, asks her out a little bit. And Alex is like, oh, like, I'm straight. And Maggie's like, oh, sorry, I like, misread your vibe. And then Alex, like, tailspins. And then is like, oh, my God, I'm totally not straight. And, like, comes out to Kara and comes out to her mom and is like, Maggie, I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie's like, I'm not okay with dating someone who just came out. I need you to figure shit out first. To which I said, girl, me too. But then eventually they, like, fall in love and they're together now. So Alex, the sister, is not a lesbian in other versions of this franchise.
Okay.
And she initially was not written to be a lesbian. They just brought on Maggie Sawyer and they were like, something is weird about Alex's character. Like, we can't figure out what it is. Like, all of the writers, I read this article where they were like, there was something off about Alex and we couldn't figure out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in Floriana Lima and they were like, oh, what's off about her is that she is struggling with her sexuality. And like, we don't know that. And so the plotline was like not amazing. I mean, it was like, it was really, really focused on Alex coming out. Like there were like 6 weeks of Alex coming out to like herself and then the world and like all this shit that was a little bit like, okay, we get it. Like, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. And it tended to focus on the person she was coming out to more than on her. Like, there was a whole episode about, like, Kara being like, I don't know, and it was like, okay, who cares? Like, let's focus on Alex, who just came out to her sister. Supergirl. Yeah, Kara's Supergirl. But after all of that happened, ever since, they've just had, like, the same kind of plot lines as, like, Supergirl and her boyfriend and Jeremy Jordan and his girlfriend. Oh. Like, they've just had, like, couple plot lines and...
Me being Jeremy Jordan's girlfriend.
Right. A couple weeks ago, Alex got, like, kidnapped, and Maggie and Kara had to, like, work together to save her.
Oh.
Yeah. And then at the end, Maggie and Alex said, I love you to each other for the first time.
Oh.
Which was really rough. The really, really amazing thing about Sandverse is that teenagers love the CW. Mm-hmm. Teenagers love Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers are watching Supergirl and mm-hmm. seeing this couple and seeing Alex figuring out her sexuality. And a lot of teenagers have said that they've been, like, inspired to come out or that they've, realized their sexuality from it. And even better, a lot of adults have watched it with their kids and been like, oh, I understand what my child can't, like, what's going on with my child and why they can't talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what's really funny?
What?
I've heard a lot of those reactions about people that listen to our podcast.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh. I was like, damn, we're changing the world.
No, but that's amazing.
Yeah, like, people say all the time on Twitter, like, they're like, someone will say to them, like, I watched Supergirl with my daughter, and I, like, figured out what she was trying to say, and she hasn't figured it out yet, but, like, I've been, like, talking to her about, like, you know, it's okay to have any sexuality, like, mm-hmm. whatever you want, which is, like, so... incredible that the teenagers have this.
So what we're really getting from all of this research is that DC and Marvel have secretly been doing a lot for the gay community without really publicizing it.
Yeah.
In comparison to something like Glee that is very much like gay's okay.
Yeah.
Where this is kind of like we're just gonna natural.
We're just gonna like drop it in and then you can do what you want with it. There was this really beautiful story on Twitter. Actually, I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
This is written by a woman who works in a comic book store. So I want to tell you all what happened in the store today. It's probably the single greatest moment I have ever experienced working here. After the usual Saturday rush, a teenage girl comes in. She looks absolutely terrified, and when I greet her, she jumps. She starts going up and down the new release wall, and the poor thing looks completely overwhelmed. So I make my way over to her and ask her if I can help her find anything. She quietly admits that she was looking for Supergirl. We're walking to the super area when I ask if she watches the show. She smiles a bit and nods, says Alex is her favorite. I mention that I'm a huge Sandverse shipper, and the poor thing just breaks down in tears. I'm trying to figure out what the hell I did to upset her. She's crying and I'm freaking out. After a minute or so, everything clicks. I'm staring down a crying baby gay, one who was having some big issues. I tell her that it was hard for me when I wanted to come out too. She finally stops crying and asks me if it gets easier. We sit at the coffee bar and talked for a while. She tells me that after seeing it all over Tumblr, she binged Supergirl, and when she got to Alex's coming out arc was when things hit her. She tells me that she's just wanted to kill herself for so long and that she had tried but just made herself sick. But as Alex's arc continued, she said she realized that she started to see that she could be happy, that she could be loved. She didn't want to die anymore. For the first time, she didn't want to die because she got to see Alex be amazing and be queer. She said she came to the store hoping to find something to get her through the hiatus so she wouldn't fall back in depression. She had no idea gay comic characters were a thing, but I wanted to try. I told her about Batwoman, Midnighter, and Renee Montoya.
Nice! There we go.
I pull out my starters, which are Batwoman Allergy, Midnighter, and Gotham Central. I also dug up a copy of The Adventures of Supergirl just to get her through. She had enough cash for one and was torn on which to get. She decides on Batman and asks if I can hold the rest for a while. I was having an internal crisis at that time because this kid was me years ago. I was barely holding off my own tears. I ended up buying the other three for her. And I make her promise that in 10 years she'll help another queer kid.
Nope. Nope. I'm just feeling a lot about that.
Yep.
Is that the end of it?
Then it just says, so at the CW, at Supergirl staff, at Chyler Lee at Floriana Lima. The work you do means so much to us. Thank you so, so much.
I think we just have to leave it with that.
Yeah, that, I have nothing more to say about Supergirl.
Yeah. Wow.
Those firsts that you talked about. I want to have them all with you. I never want to stop having firsts with you. I love you, Maggie Sawyer. You, Alex Danvers.
So the next thing we're talking about is a movie that comes out on Friday.
Yes!
Wonder Woman!
Can you put in, right here, her theme music?
Yeah. Da-da-da! Okay. So, we love Wonder Woman. We're very excited for the movie. But we know two people who have really strong opinions about the upcoming Wonder Woman movie. And they're going to be joining us now.
Yeah.
Just mom talk.
Mom talk. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be back. I was so afraid I would never be asked again.
Listen, our fans love you.
Well, and I love them back.
Aww. Well,
I don't know who they are, but I'm sure I love them.
How does it feel to be a podcast personality?
Well, it is a life goal that I'm not sure I would ever achieve. And here I am, so looking pretty good.
So we're talking about the Wonder Woman movie, which comes out on Friday. And you said to me that you have some strong feelings about the new Wonder Woman movie.
So the fact that I have strong feelings comes from two places. The first is it just looks like it's going to be an amazing movie.
Yes, it does.
But the second is, I recently watched an episode of the 1970s Wonder Woman TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, it was an appalling trauma. And that has given me strong feelings about what might be done with Wonder Woman the next time around. Have either of you ever seen an episode of the series?
I have.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, like, on TV land.
Well, it's terrible. And it's terrible at a level, I'm aware that it came out in the 1970s, so even compared to what was on TV in the 1970s, it was terrible. And I love me some 1970s TV. I will watch The Love Boat any day, anytime, as many episodes as you'll give me. And honestly, the world needs another Love Boat right about now.
TV execs, if you're listening.
But the Wonder Woman show, I don't actually remember whether I was a frequent watcher of it. It wasn't on for very long, I don't think. It wasn't must-see TV in my house, that's for sure. So recently, when I saw that it was coming on after something I was watching, like probably The Love Boat or Perry Mason, I decided I would watch. And the plot of the show, the crime had something to do with some kind of recording studio fraud or graft or something, which was fine. That probably was cool in the 70s. But then the B plot was these two mimes trying to get somewhere in their car. Maybe they weren't exactly mimes. They were dressed like Jesus in Godspell.
Okay.
But kind of with my makeup, and I think they talk, if I'm remembering the episode correctly.
So they
were performers trying to get to wherever they were going to perform.
Okay.
And they kept running into obstacles, like car trouble and getting lost.
So nothing to do with Wonder Woman.
The way it tied in is that at some point, Wonder Woman maybe caught some of the villains, and the mimes happened to be there on the side of the road, so she gave the villain to the mimes.
What?
To hold on to or restrain or something.
What?
Or maybe it was that she saved somebody and she gave the person to the mimes so the mimes would help get the person to safety. I don't remember. Let me tell you, by the time she handed people over to the mimes, that show had lost me long before. I also didn't like that there was the obligatory, oh, Wonder Woman's an attractive woman. There's an attractive man here. Let's have them give each other googly eyes. But then in the end, you can't have them get together because he would find out her secret. I find that just insulting. I think that probably would have been required back then to get TV audiences to accept a strong woman. She had to be susceptible to the charms of a handsome man.
That's interesting because that kind of stuff does happen to male superheroes, especially with Batman. He's always seduced by women, but they're always hypersexualized. Like, Poison Ivy is one of the most sexualized people in the comic universe. So to hear that it happens on Wonder Woman with just, like, an average Joe.
That's lame.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah, because the guys on Wonder Woman were not part of the Wonder Woman world the way Poison Ivy is part of the Batman world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because only
I also need to note that I've never read a comic book in my life that I'm aware of, except Persepolis. And actually, it's possible I read an Archie comic book here or there if it was the only thing in the house. Like, I don't know the difference between DC and Marvel. I don't have a lot of perspective on who Wonder Woman is supposed to be.
Uh-huh. So what are your feelings?
But I do know this. I know that she is an Amazon, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So no Amazon is going to be distracted by any mortal man, is she? Amazons don't need mortal men. Please. I just find that absurd.
Well, have you heard that Wonder Woman is queer?
No, that's cool. I would kind of expect that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
With a man once a year and only because you're sent over to the other tribe to get pregnant. I don't know. That would probably turn me.
One of the writers for Wonder Woman for the comic book said that Wonder Woman is absolutely queer and has had relationships with other women on her island. And that's not in this version, as far as I know.
We can only hope.
Well, I hope not. Yeah, but apparently that's going to be, like, part of the franchise now, is that Wonder Woman is going to be, like, openly queer.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
It fits very nicely into her story.
Yeah.
As opposed to her just, like, being queer.
Yeah, as opposed to them kind of shoehorning it in.
I was just going to say, oh, so the real-life Wonder Woman is queer, but then the real-life Wonder Woman is a cartoon character, so that's not exactly...
Yep.
Yeah.
So what are your feelings about the movie?
Well, all I've seen is that one kind of extended trailer. I took one important point away from it, which is that Chris Pine has abnormally large lips.
Yeah, he does.
They just look a little creepy to me. I love the trailer. That is a real Wonder Woman. She's badass. Things that are... I hope this isn't a spoiler because it's just something I'm pretty sure they made obvious in the trailer is that when whoever it is comes to their island and starts shooting, it's their first encounter with bullets and someone important gets hit with one.
Yeah.
And that's how they figure out they need to have the bracelets. Uh-huh. So yeah. I like the idea that it's gonna cover how she adapts her powers to new circumstances, because I do like a clever female superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way they show her fighting and that kind of look that makes it clear she could eat her enemies if she felt like it, but she's just not in the mood. So instead she's going to kill them. I love just everything they showed about her fierceness and how she can rock that leather mini without actually slashing anybody while she's making flips through the air and landing upside down and killing somebody with a toothpick or whatever it is she does.
Have you ever seen Gal Gadot in a movie before?
I have not. Is she Israeli? That's what the accent sounds like.
Yeah, she is. Which I'm going to say is a big move for her to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered an Israeli woman who's not badass?
No.
Actually, no, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. That was a good start, picking an Israeli woman to play the character.
Especially someone who is as iconic, like an American icon.
Yeah. Since her whole thing is, like, red, white, and blue America.
Yeah.
To pick someone who is...
Like, she is as much of an American icon as Superman is.
Yeah.
Let the record show, Wonder Woman, even in the origin story, is an immigrant.
Yeah.
So, she chooses to be a proud American icon.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't born that way.
You might say that she's pro-choice. Thanks, everyone.
That was...
Do you know of any queer superheroes besides Wonder Woman?
There's a kind of fringe comic book series called something like Darkman. Huh? Is that right?
Sure.
We don't know it.
Okay. I mean...
We'll look it up.
Well, it might be that you don't know it because that's not the name of it. But it was a movie...
Darkman.
Quite a long time ago.
1990.
And I think he's gay.
Jay's Googling it right now.
Well, I control-F'd gay in the movie description and it doesn't seem to be there, but
you did find the movie.
Yeah,
Frances McDormand is in it, so.
That's something to look into.
Did Jeffrey Dean Stanton play the, or Jeffrey Dean Morgan play the...
Nope, Liam Neeson did.
I may be thinking of yet something else, because I'm not sure if I remember that Liam Neeson was in it. I'm also not 100% sure I saw it. My memory of it, maybe.
Are you thinking of Watchmen?
I'm hearing about it and not seeing it.
Are you thinking of Watchmen? Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in that.
I am definitely thinking of Watchmen. Yes, yes, yes.
Is there a gay character in that?
There is a gay character, but he's a villain.
Oh, so not a superhero.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm not really into the superhero things, I'm not really perhaps the best resource on that question. Could we go back to Gal Gadot? Because you didn't give me a chance to say that she's gorgeous.
She
is gorgeous.
There's a real intensity to her, the way she uses her eyes, that's very striking.
Yeah. It's like she's piercing into your soul.
Yeah. I would not want to be on her bad side, and I would very, very much like to be on her good side.
I think she's a good choice for Wonder Woman.
All right.
Well, have a good podcast. Enjoy it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen listening, this is my mom.
Hi.
You used to watch Wonder Woman when it was on TV, right?
Yes, I did. Every time it was on.
Were you like a big fan?
Yes.
What was your favorite part? Like, what was it? I've only ever seen, like, snippets of it.
My favorite part? I don't know.
No, like, what? Like, why did you like it?
Why did I like it? Because I think out of all of the superheroes, from a woman's standpoint, she was, like, awesome.
And are you excited to see the new one?
I am. I think it's some pretty big shoes to have to fill, from my generation viewpoint. Well, Linda Carter did a great job playing Wonder Woman, so I just kind of, you know, growing up with her, whenever you change the character, the actress, it kind of is like some big shoes to fill, just like Batman, you know? They had all these different Batmans, and each time they had a different Batman, it was a whole different set of shoes to fill.
So you have a really big bar for the movie.
I don't think so. I mean, I think from what I've seen of the previews that it's going to be good and that it will meet that bar. It just depends on the plot, I think.
Oh, okay. What do you think about DC preparing for very low box office ratings for Wonder Woman as opposed to their bigger, like, male-centered superhero movies?
I don't know if their rating... I mean, do you think the ratings are going to be low? I don't...
I mean, I don't think so, but DC thinks,
though. But they haven't really promoted it at all. Yeah. Hi, I'm here, too.
Hi, Jay. I don't know if they're going to be low. I don't know if it's necessarily one way or the other, male, female, is going to matter.
Like, I hope that's the case.
Right? I don't think the males are not going to go see it because it's Wonder Woman. I think, if anything, that will kind of entice that.
You said Dad wants to see it, right?
Yeah, he wanted to see it, so...
Oh, right, we talked about this too, because I was like, oh, well, Dad obviously just wants to see it because Gal Gadot, who's playing Wonder Woman, is gorgeous. And you were like, no, she's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was very action, you know, just by the previews, obviously, it was very action-packed, and, you know, I think that was more his... I don't think he cares whether it's male or female doing the action, just what kind of action it is. And, you know, Wonder Woman with her cuffs and her unique abilities helps to give that lure of attraction.
Do you have anything else to say about Wonder Woman?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm excited to see it, and I'm sure that she will do a great job. It's, like I said, it's just different shoes to fill. And with all the different, all the new technology that has come out, action obviously is different now than it you know, back then. So I'm curious to see how much of it is similar.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't even, like, when she, doesn't Wonder Woman, like, spin around
to
change into her?
Yeah, that's how she changes into her costume and stuff. So it's I'm curious to see how, you know, obviously with the newer technology versus back then, you know, back then it was kind of cool. So I can't imagine what it's going to be now with the technology. And because of the technology that they have now, how kind of far-fetched is it really going to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'll let you get back to work.
Okay, thanks.
In your satin tights, fighting for your rights,
Have you seen the Deadpool movie?
Of course not.
Me neither. Deadpool is Marvel and is played by Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Who
has Blake Lively's played... husband.
Yes. But has also played another
Sandra
superhero.
Bullock's fiance in The Proposal. No, okay.
Yes. What but he played Green Lantern in the Green Lantern movie, who was not gay. And before the movie was released, it was revealed that Ryan Reynolds' character was pansexual. Like, this was a couple months before, where Ryan Reynolds was like, yeah, this is what's going to happen, and he will be pansexual. So this is where I want to hand it over to you to kind of explain the difference between being bisexual and being pansexual.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of mostly a person-by-person thing, mm-hmm. because, so, bisexual, right, implies that there's only two genders, mm-hmm. and pansexual implies that there are many genders. Mm-hmm. And so, someone who's bisexual is basically saying, like, I am attracted to men and women, mm-hmm. and someone who's pansexual is saying, I am attracted to people across the gender spectrum.
Oh, okay.
Some bisexual people say, like, no, like, I am attracted to people across the gender spectrum. The bi means, like, my gender and not my gender.
Gotcha. So it doesn't always mean male and female.
Right. What a bisexual person would say would be, like, it means I'm attracted to, like, men, mm-hmm. and people who are not men.
What's the difference, then, between that and being pansexual?
Nothing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So it really is a person-by-person case of how a person defines that
yes.
word. Interesting. Okay. Now, here's another thing that we should talk about and kind of define. In the comics, Deadpool is omnisexual.
So pansexual is being like, I fall in love with the person regardless of the gender.
Okay.
Omnisexual is like, I fall in love with the person because of the gender, but the gender doesn't... But I'm attracted to multiple genders.
So omnisexual is I am open to anything. Pansexual is I am really open to anything.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so we have two people.
Okay.
Pansexual person here.
Mm-hmm.
Omnisexual person here.
Listeners know that we're talking about our left and our right hands.
Yeah. Pansexual is my left hand. Omnisexual is my right hand. Pansexual person over mm-hmm. here, left hand, meets a person.
Mm-hmm.
And falls in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
And falls in love with...
their soul.
But yeah, like, falls in love... Let me start over. It would be, like, on a dating website.
Okay.
An omnisexual person would be, like, looking for men, women, and non-binary people.
Okay.
A pansexual person would be, like, looking for people. It's like, with a pansexual person, like, the gender doesn't play into it.
Mm-hmm.
And with an omnisexual person, the gender does play into it.
In what scenario does the gender play into it? Or let's talk about it in reverse. What do they not include?
Listeners, I have a lot of pages open trying to figure out the difference between these two.
I think I understand, but I can't grasp onto it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, listen, I'm having a hard time too. Got it. Here we go. Okay. Pansexuality and omnisexuality are the attraction to all people regardless of their gender. People who are pansexual do not consider gender connected to attraction. People who are omnisexual do.
Got it.
There we go.
I see.
Yeah, okay.
So people who are pansexual can be like, that guy's hot, I'm into him. Where people who are omnisexual are like, that person is a smart thinker. I'm attracted.
Flip that.
Okay. But are like, so that, like I am attracted to that person.
So like a pansexual person.
But not in a shallow way.
Right. An omnisexual person would be like, I like tall guys.
They have a type.
Yeah. 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 They have like a physical type.
Mm-hmm.
And for pansexual people, it's more about like.
Emotional connection.
The person. Yeah.
Got it. Without being shallow.
Yeah. Like, the equivalent would be, like, think of omnisexual as, like, me, but for all genders.
Mm-hmm.
And think of pansexual as, like, you, but for all genders.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thing to change.
Yeah, it's an interesting
from comics
distinction.
To movie.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Me too. I wonder if maybe they changed it not because of, like, the difference between them, but because of, like, the kids say pansexual.
Oh, they were like, well, this is a, like, more universally
yeah.
used word.
Like, people will understand what this means.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But when I read this, and that there was this, like, whole omnisexual, pansexual thing happening in Deadpool, I was like, oh, maybe I will watch Deadpool.
Me too.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, hello. It's so good to be back. I've missed you all.
So neither of us saw Deadpool.
Really?
No. But you did, right?
Surprise. I certainly did.
So,
Do you know that Deadpool is pansexual?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, and she saw the movie, so then, gotcha. That means that, I feel like that means that it's not well represented.
Well, the reason I sort of stumble a little bit there is that he's with a girl, and then after he gets his revenge, he goes to the girl again. So I don't remember if there was some kind of discussion of, oh, he might also be with boys.
So maybe he is being actively portrayed as someone who is pansexual. But at the moment, he is in love with this woman.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. But to someone who doesn't know that, it comes across as a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. Because I guess Marvel could argue, like, oh, well, pansexual people can be in heterosexual relationships.
Huh.
But then it's like...
That's interesting.
But then why make the character pansexual?
I guess so that they don't have to worry, like, they don't have to go through, like, changing him from being omnisexual in the comics to being heterosexual.
Yeah.
To be clear, I didn't pay that much attention to this movie.
Well, thanks for being our Deadpool representative.
Oh, if that's all the representation Deadpool gets, I feel sorry for it.
I know, right? Whose balls did I have to fondle to get my very own movie? I can't tell you, but it does rhyme with Pulverine.
The last thing we're going to talk about is trans representation in the superhero universes. Guess how much there is?
Zero.
Wrong.
Oh!
There's actually a lot.
Oh, shit. Okay.
However, all of it is bad representation.
I see.
Which is why I think a lot of it has not really surfaced a lot. They all kind of fall into the same hole. All of them are not really trans.
Oh,
they are someone who either was male and then something, like they were bitten by a spider or like something has happened and they are then suddenly female and then have to like go on with their lives and stuff like that. Like they're not just like Sense8, where Nomi Marks is someone who is trans and is also a superhero. If you want to call the characters of Sense8 superheroes, it's someone who has fallen into some kind of gender situation and has come out of it in some kind of, like...
Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I would imagine that it's also, like, there's a lot of, like, I don't want to be like this.
Yeah. But, I won't say in all of it, because I'm, like, let me know if you know of
trans
superheroes.
Yeah, send us trans superheroes.
In a lot of it, it's a lot of, like, this has happened to me, and now I don't know what to do, and I don't know who I am. Which, to someone who is not trans and wrote this, might seem like they're writing someone who is a positive trans role model. But, like, in the reality of it, coming from someone who is not trans, they're not. Like, that's bad.
Well, it never just happens that you, like, accidentally become the other gender.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, exactly.
That doesn't happen.
Exactly. And then there are a lot of
trans people
that, like,
didn't just, like, wake up one day and be like, ah, shit. Like,
there's also one that is one of the top, or, like, more popular trans superheroes who is not actually even relatively close to being trans, but they are a, like, spirit of a soul. It's, like, it's a power that goes into people. So like the superhero changes genders because it's a soul that gets like passed into all of these different people. And it's like, well, that's what trans is, right? And it's like, no. Like that, not at all.
It's like, not
but
so
like,
much.
The idea of like the superhero changes genders.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's our trans representation. And it's like,
I mean,
what's
that's
that?
That's like great for like round one of trans representation. Like they're like, ah, we're gonna start putting in the trans characters. Like, but I feel like, you know, it's 2017, so maybe it could be, like, a little bit better.
Yeah. There's also one that I kind of mentioned earlier who, it's someone who is male-bodied and is turned into someone who is female-bodied and goes into sex work.
Ah!
And I'm
that's
like...
That's so bad.
I'm like, I get
so
it.
Bad.
I know that that is something where, like, maybe someone who is cisgender that was writing this was like, oh, sex work is something that's, like, talked about a lot in the trans community, so my character's
like,
gonna,
a tangerine.
My character's gonna go into sex work. And I'm like, great, but, like, that's not the representation you should be throwing into comic books. And, I mean, not comic books, superhero comic books.
Right. If anyone knows of a trans superhero or a comic book about trans people, let us know.
Yeah, really, because
I want to read it.
One, I love being proved wrong, and two, just please help the world.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah?
What time is it? I took off my watch.
Oh. It's time for our game.
How did I get you?
I literally 1 second ago was like, oh, it's time for the game.
One, it's 3:02. Two, it's time for the game. So our game today comes from not only an SNL monologue, but from a long-running joke between Jay and I, where they're all white men look alike, especially all white blonde men, and a lot of them are named Chris, and a lot of them are in superhero movies, and Jay cannot tell the difference between them.
I do not know any of them.
And I've kind of been preparing Jay for this over the past 3 years.
Yes.
So she's a little bit better at this than she used to be.
Not by much.
So let's go through this.
Okay.
Thor.
God damn it, right off the bat. Hemsworth.
Yes!
Yes!
Okay.
Okay.
Captain Kirk.
Oh, fuck. Evans, obviously.
No.
No! Damn it! Pine!
Chris Pine! Chris Pine, Stark into the Woods.
Chris Pine! God, those are the two that I get the most mixed up.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Chris Pine's also in Wonder Woman.
Yes, he is. Peter Quill.
What is that?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Rat?
Yes! Okay, this is gonna trip you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Storm and...
Fuck.
Steve Rogers, who is Captain America.
Who's Johnny Storm?
Fantastic Four, The Flame. Both played by the same actor.
I thought the Flame guy was Billy Elliot.
Not the Kate Mara one.
Oh, the old Flame guy.
The, like, Jessica Alba one.
Evans.
Yes!
Yes!
And that is all of the Chris's.
Oh, great. Okay, so now let me do it back. So, Chris Pratt is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pine is Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. And Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman. Chris Evans is Captain America and apparently the old Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yes.
There it is.
I'm a genius. Thank you to both of our moms for being guests this week.
Yeah, really. My mom was not expecting it.
Everyone go see Wonder Woman. It comes out on Friday. Go see Wonder Woman, take a picture of yourself, and send it to us.
Yeah, really. Email it to us at onemorethingpodcast@gmail.com, one being the number one, or DM us on Instagram and send it to us and we'll post it. Or, you know, just good old fashioned Twitter at us. Tweet it to us. Both at One More Thing. Also, while you're at it, you know, just follow us there if you're not already. And if you're not already, what are you doing?
Also, subscribe to our newsletter, tinyletter.com/onemorething. And subscribe to us on iTunes. You can very easily find it by next to where you're listening to us. Speaking of iTunes, why not rate us and review us?
Honestly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everyone who texts us every week with your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what's the best way to get us to hear your thoughts?
What's the best way?
Write it in a review on iTunes.
Yeah, really? And don't be afraid. Email us your thoughts. We respond to it. Email's the new texting.
Thank you to...
Marvel and DC, honestly.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that I've learned from putting this episode together, it's that they've done so much. And I think don't get enough credit for what they've put out into the world.
Thank you to Stephanie Hawkins for the pictures of us.
And thank you to Sarah Kleist for giving us the microphone and really skyrocketing the start of the podcast.
Thank you to Anna Verde.
Yeah. Thank you to...
My cat.
Who's my cat? Oh, your cat.
The cat that is...
I thought you said Mike Hat.
Thank you to Rachel, my roommate, who is not here, but thank you for letting us record here. Thank you to that woman who works in the comic book store who helped out that little...
You know, I had forgotten about that, and I just need you to never bring it up ever again. I need a biopic about that woman. And
you know what? Thank you to Robert Ackerman. Thank you, Robert, because usually I put the episodes together, and today you put it together, and that was great because I didn't have to do almost any work.
Oh, and thank you to Keenan Lonsdale.
Yeah.
For posting something really special.
Have a nice life. Goodbye. That was beautiful. You did such a good job.
Captain America is injected with all of these different serums to kind of turn whatever morals and emotions he has and make them physical attributes.
I want those chemicals.
You would turn into a mega villain.
I mean, yeah.